Let's head out to the McLaren Health Plan phone lines and talk with Kyle Malin from the MERS newsletter. Kyle, how are you?
Great. How are you doing, Tony?
Doing very well. Interesting quote of the day, and I quote, "I'm not sure what they would throw at me if I were to show up at a county convention. Vegetables. I hope it would be vegetables." That's from former Congressman Joe Schwartz, a moderate, on what would happen if he were to show up at a Republican event with its high population of conservatives. Schwartz, of course, is considering running for Congress again as a Democrat. That doesn't sound good. He's going to have to duck and cover.
I think he's glad though that it is vegetables as opposed to a boot or any other type of foreign object. For what, you know, Joe Schwartz, I guess, you know, has stayed the moderate that he always has been, but the Republican Party has gotten a lot more conservative, and if he feels like he can win again a bid for Congress, he's going to have to do it as a Democrat. He's not going to be able to do it as a Republican.
What's your take on the Michigan Alliance for Prosperity that is behind a ballot proposal considered by the Board of State Canvassers, which would require 2/3 vote to the legislature or a vote of the people to pass new taxes?
Well, I think it's something that folks are going to have to keep an eye on. From what I understand, they've already hired a company to circulate petitions, and that's always the first sign that somebody's actually serious. You know, we've got maybe, let's see, end of April, May, June, and then a couple, you know, 1 week in July. 3 weeks, or 3 months, basically, to collect over around 400,000 signatures to get something on the ballot. I mean, that just doesn't happen miraculously. I mean, you need somebody who has money and is willing to put it on the ballot. And this could be a group that does that. There are, conservative folks out there that are looking to steer the agenda who would be willing to put money behind something like that. You know, it's happened in other states. California, I think, is most notable, where they cannot raise taxes in that state or create taxes without a 2/3 vote of the legislature or a vote of the people. That's very hard to do. You know, it's hard to get 2/3 of the legislature to agree on something like that. So it would make it almost impossible and really hamstring the state moving forward. But, you know, if you're a fiscal conservative, that's good news. It's what you want. I mean, you don't want taxes. So, you know, as I'm looking at this, what I'm looking for is who's behind this as far as a money standpoint, and if it's somebody who's got some bucks, watch out, because this is something that could be very popular when it hits the ballot.
Kyle, we have a representative on tomorrow's show from this organization, and my question to them, one of the first ones I ask is, all right, if we don't raise taxes, where are we going to get the funding we need for projects? So what do you think their response will be?
Cutting government efficiency, I'm sure. There's always waste in government as far as fiscal conservatives are concerned. No matter where they find it or how they do it, there's always something you can cut, a program you can cut. You know, one of the things that they talk about is you list all the services a government provides, then you rank them as far as importance, and then you cut from the bottom up depending on how much money you have. And you may hear something similar to that.
What is the Joint Capital Outlay Committee, and what do they do?
The Joint Capital Outlay Committee in the Capitol is the group of House members and senators who decide what construction projects get built at universities, community colleges, and other state buildings, like, let's say, the Department of Transportation needs a new station somewhere, or the veterans need a new, they need a new building somewhere. I mean, it has to go through capital outlay first. And so what they do is that they approve a certain amount of money, but most of the money for these projects are taken care of through state bonding. It's borrowed money. You know, it's like you're buying your own house. You got to, you know, borrow money unless you're of means, and the state's not of means. So they have a certain amount of money they can borrow up to. On these university and community college projects, obviously the schools put in money too, but the state also kicks in a little bit. And so that's why it's got to go in front of this committee. Once they approve what's called the capital outlay budget, then it goes to both the House and the Senate. But it's in the news, though, Tony, because there's always debate about what projects are going to get passed, which community colleges, which universities, and what's the process in figuring it out? Because, you know, it's always kind of tended to be the spoil system. You know, whoever's in charge seems to get their university or community college up to the top of the list as opposed to going through a certain set of criteria. So there's always talk about changing the process, but as far as I've ever seen, it's basically who you know.
Well, the budget is a hot topic. The legislature in both for the Senate and the House of Representatives is in full effect. And yep. From what I understand, the GOP is attaching strings to some funding, Kyle.
Yeah, they are. And, you know, in the House and the Senate and the governor are all attaching some strings to funding for K through 12 schools, universities, community colleges, municipalities, of course, which they did last year. And it's just what set of criteria do they want to use at the end of the day. And, you know, the governor's is kind of strict, and then the legislatures are, you know, a little different. And I think that's going to be the biggest focus in the negotiations with the legislature and the governor as we go into May. You know, what are those strings going to be? What are the criteria that we're going to attach certain funding to? What funding is it going to be? Is it going to be the whole amount or a certain amount? And when you get to the particulars of that, Tony, it goes pretty fast. I see no reason why they don't get the budget done by June 1.
All right, Kyle, what's going to be hot down at the state capitol the next couple of days?
Well, I'm going to be covering the whole personal property tax repeal debate. They're going to have a hearing on that today in Senate Finance, and I'll be covering that. And we talked about it on the show last week. You know, this thing really is moving along quickly, and the Senate is serious about getting it passed, you know, this before the summer break, which is the end of June. And then we'll see if the House really wants to take a vote on it. From a political standpoint, I can't believe they'd want to give the Democrats another shot to call them the best friend of business and the, you know, worst friend of the working person. But, you know, maybe they will. Maybe they just want to get it through and you know, pad the resume and just check something off the list. Well, I guess we'll see.
It's good to be the governor when you have the majority in the House and the Senate.
Absolutely. It makes things a lot easier.
Kyle Malin is the editor of the MERS newsletter. Just go to MERSnews.com. Thanks so much, Kyle.
My pleasure, Tony.